Man, what a tremendous truth there. 2 Corinthians 5, 14 and 15 says, "For the love of Christ constraineth." It means to grab a hold of, to move, to pull, to draw, to force almost. It constraineth us. Why? Because we judge this, that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. And then I'm also going to read a verse in 1 John. I'll be over in John 13 here in just a second. 1 John chapter 4, verse 9 through 10. It says, "In this was manifest the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God." Man, what a tremendous, not that we love God, but that he loved us. "Sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins." You see, I want to talk about the thought this evening is the truth of being gripped by the fact that Jesus loves me, what it can do for my life. We're going to look at some different passages here in John where the phrase, "the disciple whom Jesus loved," and so look in context in these different passages and what it led to for John the apostle. You see, when I spend more time with Jesus, when I'm consumed with the idea that Christ loves me, and the idea that, man, the man, 1 John, what a tremendous, again, John the Beloved, right in the 1 John, said, man, it's not the tremendous truth that, man, you know, that I love God. No, wait. The God of the universe, the God of all creation, the one that hung the moon and stars, the one that spoke to us, he decided to love me. By the way, in spite of me. Because guess what? You know, the crazy thing is we all know what we are, right? And we should, by the way, if we ever forget what we are, go look to the cross. The cross will remind us very quickly what we really are and what we are without Christ. Because without Christ, what did Paul say? "Oh, wretched man I am, within my flesh dwelleth no good thing." There's nothing at all good about me. It is Christ and him alone. The fact that he loved me in spite of me. You know, and the crazy part is, the thing that I'm blown away with is that God knows me better than I know myself. And yet he still loved me. And sent his Son to die for me.
Yes, sir.
And so when I am consumed with the fact that Jesus loved me, I'm consumed with the fact that it will cause me to want to spend more time with him. How do I spend more time with him? In my personal Bible time, what a tremendous challenge to read the Bible through in a year. And I will want to be in churches. Why? Because every time I get around God's people, every time I get around God and his word, every time I get a chance to get in my prayer closet, that is a chance to be in the presence of God.
Yeah.
I get a chance to spend time with the one that loved me and gave himself for me. Man, what a tremendous thought there. I will want to spend more time speaking to him in prayer.
Yeah.
I won't want to neglect those things. You know, when I am gripped with the fact, man, Jesus loves me. What did the psalmist say? What is man that thou art mindful of him?
Yeah.
David, you know, the man of God's heart said, I cannot even begin to understand why in the world the very God of the universe loves me. Mm. And not only loves me, but then show the love, right? But not only show the love, but then goes a step further and say, hey, by the way, that showing that love was to have a deep, intimate, close relationship with you. Not just on Sundays,
yeah.
Not just on Wednesdays,
right.
Not just in, y'all have a Bible study or a devotion time on Saturday before you go out. So not just during Saturday devotion time, look, I want to have a relationship with you at all times.
Yeah.
I want to have a close relationship with you. I want to spend more time serving him. And all that's to kind of lay the foundation of what we're going to talk about this evening is, you see, when I do these things, when I'm consumed with the fact that Jesus loves me, it will push me to want to spend time with him, right? Man, I can't wait to spend time with Jesus. Man, I can't wait to get my Bible. Man, I can't wait to get my prayer closet. I can't wait to come to church. I can't wait to be here. Why? Because, man, I get a chance to spend time with my Savior that loves me.
Yes, sir.
I get to spend time serving him. And so this leads to what? This will lead to a closeness to the Lord. And it leads to some opportunities. We're going to look here in John and look at John's life in John 13, verse 21. John chapter 13, verse 21 is where we're going to start our study this evening. John chapter 13, verse 21. It says, "When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in his spirit and testified and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. Then the disciples looked one on another, doubting of whom he spake. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples," there's that phrase, "whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter, therefore, beckoning to him, that he should ask who it should be of him who he spake. He then, lying on Jesus' breast, said unto him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, He it is, to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon." You see, something I caught here a while back when I was developing, looking at this thought here, well, the first thought here is when I'm closer to the Lord and when I develop that closeness to him, number one, you see here with John, I will get to hear things others might miss. You see, you think about it here. Who was it that Peter, again, the boastful one, right? The one that open mouth, insert foot. The one that, I will die before you before they won't get to you. If they don't get to you, they'll get through me. He's the one slicing off ears, and he's the one doing all these things, and like, man, look, he's, get behind me, say, you know what you're talking about, right? And Peter like whispers, hey, by the way, John, can you ask Jesus a question for me? Who's going to betray him? You see, Peter took notice, wait, John has a closeness with Jesus that, unfortunately, I don't have. You see, when I'm close to Christ, and when I'm gripped with the fact that Jesus loves me, and I spend that time with Him like I should, by the way, every day,
yeah,
I will get to hear things that others don't get to hear. By the way, let me help you with something. Don't misunderstand me. This invitation to hear what God wants us to hear is for everybody. Yes, again, it's not that Jesus didn't want to communicate to the other disciples. It was that John took the opportunity to accept the invitation for closeness.
Yeah.
That was the difference. You see, Bible says what? Draw nigh to me and I will draw nigh to you. The invitation is given to every believer.
Right.
From the youngest in here to the oldest in here. From no matter what the gender is, no matter what the background in life is, no matter how long you've been in church or how little you've been in church, God say that invitation is for everyone. Right. To have that closeness with Him. You see, in this passage, John got to hear Jesus speak of who would betray Him, and He describes in a way that no one else in that room got to hear. You see, it's important for us to be close to Christ. Why? Because when I'm consumed with His love, and I'm consumed with the fact, man, Jesus loves me, I'll be consumed with the idea that, man, I got to spend time with Him. I cannot miss that time with Him. I can't miss my Bible time. Man, I can't miss my prayer time. Man, I can't miss my church. Will become more than just a meeting place, right? Church will become more than just, oh, it's what I do on Wednesday night. It's just what I do on Sunday. Hey, it's what I do on, you know, by the way, I won't want to miss Sunday school because I will miss hearing something from Jesus. I don't want to miss Sunday morning because I don't miss hear something from Jesus. Man, I don't want to miss Sunday night. I don't want to miss Wednesday night. Man, I don't want to miss revival time. Whenever the church doors open, unless I'm providentially hindered, man, why? Because I've got to hear from Jesus. There might be that one service. There might be that one devotion time. There might be that one time that we miss that God was written to give us something that we really needed, right?
Yeah.
You know, you think about the walls of Jericho. I always find such a unique story, Brother Terry, that could you imagine being Joshua, right? He takes over Moses and, man, okay, man, I'm a man of war. Let's go, right, Brother Burley? Man, I'm ready to go. Let's kill someone. He probably got both swords and everything. Like, let's go. And God says, you're going to walk around a wall 7 times. Excuse you? Like, I got to tell everybody to walk around a wall. And by the way, I got to tell everybody to be quiet, too. You read the context. It says, tell no one they're allowed to talk. That's it. Nobody can talk. Look, have you ever traveled at all with kids? Have you ever done anything with anybody trying to tell people not to talk? Like, it's like, they had to have been Baptist, right? Because Baptist and talking, it goes hand in hand, right? We always gotta give our opinions how it goes, right? And he tells them, look, don't talk. Just walk around the walls and just do all these things and just follow me. And in the 7 day, they walked around 7 times and all these things. And I wonder if they had stopped on that 6th time around that 7th day. They stop on day 5. They stop on day 4. They stop right where the victory is getting ready to take place.
Yep.
And so often I think that's where we are. We miss out on that. God's getting ready to bring that big victory. Mm-hmm. God's getting ready to answer that prayer request that we have. God's getting ready to really speak and move. And God's getting ready to do something in the church. God's getting ready to do something in your family.
Yeah.
And we miss it. You see, when I'm consumed with Christ, when I'm consumed with the fact that He loves me, again, this invitation, the beautiful picture here too is that John the Beloved, he didn't have anything on Jesus that we don't have. We can be just as close in the same way he was.
Yeah.
We have the same Jesus that he had. We have the same, look, by the way, I almost believe we're at an advantage. We have the completed Word of God. They didn't have it back then.
Right.
Man, we have the completed Word of God that they didn't have back then. They just, you know, we can hear from Jesus wholeheartedly at any time we want to. Look, let me ask you something. Look, honestly, there should be a fear of missing out when it comes to our walk with God. That FOMO, right? That fear of missing out. You know, I don't think that's the thing more teenagers use. I'm so behind the times. I'm still a youth pastor. Y'all pray for me. I'm 35, but in youth pastor years, that's like 89 or something like that. And so, like, I used to have a lot of hair. One of my teenagers just graduated, Brother Bro. He told me, he said, you're the only guy with a full head of hair that I can still see your scalp. I'm like, that was a good one. You know, I just had to move on. I'm like, that was a really good one. I was like, that was the best one I've heard. I'm like, oh, what am I supposed to do about that? You know, like, there's no way to even return that. I just said your forehead and moved on. It was kind of how it worked, you know. But there should be a fear of missing out. Do I have a fear of missing out? Man, if I miss my Bible time, if I miss my prayer time, if I miss church, if I miss that youth activity, if I miss whatever's going on, man, I might miss, God might have something special, uniquely designed for me.
Yeah.
By the way, that you may not need right in that moment. I can tell you how many times there's times that God gave me something in my devotion. God gave me something at a church service that I wrote down, and later on when I'm going through something, wait, that's why I was there. Yes, that's why I read that time. That's why I had that note on my phone. That's why I highlighted that verse. That's why that was there. Yeah. Let me ask you something. Are you content with just hearing from the Lord every so often? Or are we content with just hearing from on special occasions? Only when I come to church on Sunday.
Come on now.
Am I content with just hearing what others hear from Him? Am I content with only hearing what the preacher gets from God?
Yeah. Come on.
Am I content with only hearing, getting what my parents get from God? Am I content with only getting what my youth pastor gets from God? Or no. You see, here's the deal. I want to hear from God. I need to hear from God. I like animals. Birds are kind of whatever, but I like animals that can kill things and all that kind of stuff. But birds, you think about how does a mom bird feed their child, right? It's really gross. So if you have a weak stomach, close your ears. They chew up the food, right, and they regurgitate it back into the baby's mouth. And you understand when you come to church. Now, church is important. I emphasize that. Don't misunderstand me.
Right.
But when you come to church, you're getting a regurgitation of what God has gave your pastor in his personal study, which is useful to you. But it should come along with what you've already gotten daily in your own walk with God.
Yes, sir. Yes,
sir. It should be an extra boost to my walk I already have with God.
Yes.
Man, God's already been working, God's already moving, God's been working, God's been moving, God's been talking to me. And then, man, when I get to church, man, preachers, man, ooh, man, that gave me that extra little jolt, right?
Right.
That's the way it should be.
Yes, sir.
Or am I just content with hearing others hear? Hey, ask yourself, when's the last time you genuinely heard something from God, personally?
Good.
In your own personal walk with God. When's the last time you heard something? By the way, same challenges for myself. When's the last time I personally heard something? It should be every day, right?
Absolutely.
Number two, let's turn to John chapter 19. John chapter 19. John chapter 19. We'll be in verse 24 through 28. John chapter 19. Make sure I got the right one. 24 through 28. Let's see here. Make sure. Okay, yep, 24. They said, therefore, among themselves, let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, they parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. These things, therefore, the soldiers did. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. There's a whole other study. Study Mary Magdalene. Every time you see her mentioned, she's around Jesus. Every single time. Every single time you see her in the Bible, what a unique. Another sermon I was praying about, but God led me to this one. So, verse 26. And when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, there's John again. He said unto him, unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. Then he said to the disciple, behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home. And so it's such a unique passage here. You see, another thought is when I'm consumed with the thought that Jesus loves me, and I spend that time with him, and I create that era of, man, I don't want to miss out. I get a chance to hear things others don't hear. The other thing is I will get a chance to do more for him that others may not get asked to do.
Yeah.
Now, listen, it doesn't make me any better than someone else. Don't misunderstand me. That's not what it means. It's anything I can do is by the grace of God. Anything we do for God, anything we do, man, is, man, God, wait, you're going to let me do this. God, you're going to let me do this. God, you're going to let me do this. I can't believe you let me be involved in this ministry and preach. And, man, I get to be an usher. Man, I get to work the sound booth. Man, I get to work in the bus ministry. Man, God, whatever, man, I get to do these things, right? John, at the foot of the cross, he says, hey, by the way, I want you to take care of my mama. What a tremendous responsibility given by the Savior.
Yeah.
You study the Gospels, of course, Jesus cared about his mom, right?
Yeah.
There was no ifs, ands, buts about it. He cared about his mom. And on, why? Because on his deathbed, on the cross, dying for our sins, he said, hey, by the way, my mom needs someone to take care of her. And who did he choose to do that? John. You see, John got at, why? Because he was in the presence of Jesus, and Jesus asked him to do something for him. In this passage, John again is asked to care of the mother of Jesus when no one else is around him, no one else is there, but he gives it to John. Not even the brothers, he asked John to do it. Jesus, why? Because Jesus trusted him with this big responsibility. Why? Because he knew he could. Again, the Bible says, what? If you love me, you will do what? You will keep my commandments. We see when we are close to the Lord, we got opportunity to do great things for the Lord. Of the original 12, John wrote the most books in the Bible. He wrote the Gospel of John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and he got to write Revelation. He got to see and experience and do things others didn't get to do, right? See, when I am close to the Lord and I am serving the Lord, man, by the way, that means I get a chance to see things others don't get to see.
Yes, sir.
By the way, every time a lost soul comes to know Christ, that's a miracle. You who were dead in trespass sins, yet he quickened, he made alive. Someone who was on their way to hell, a devil's hell, an enemy of God, God spoke their heart and they received Christ. Now they are alive and under Christ, they're going to heaven. Man, that is a miracle. Man, you get to see miracle after miracle. There's things that God has allowed me to see and minister that I'm like, I've never got to see before. And I told Brother Terry probably tell you that same. Brother Nick could probably tell you that. Brother Anthony, I could tell you that. There, anybody here that's been in church a amount of time could tell you, man, I've seen miracle after miracle after miracle, and things happen, things take place. And what? That's why? Because the closer I get to God, man, the more I get to see, right?
Yeah.
And the closer I get to God, man, hey, by the way, let's not get so, sometimes I was raised a preacher's kid, and sometimes one of the biggest things that I learned in Bible college is such a unique thing. And Brother Terry was when I got to see and watch God do for me. Well, man, God became real for me. He became my God. He was always my God when I got saved. I understand that, but to watch Him answer my prayers and work miracles in my life, and man, watch Him do what? You see, when I am close to Christ, I will get to do more for Him. Those don't you know, church? Don't misunderstand it. You see, God designed it where the way I serve Him is by serving through the local church and serving others. That's the way He designed it. You see, when your pastor or Brother Nick or Brother Anthony or anybody that's over in ministry asks you to do something, you're not doing it for them.
Right.
Nothing you do in ministry is for them. Nothing you do in the local church. It was awesome. I saw a bunch of workers. I want to commend you, man. That was awesome. I saw a bunch of workers here out on Sunday night go vacuuming, cleaning up toilets, all that kind of stuff. Man, that's awesome. Look, you know what? You're not doing that for the pastor. Man, you get a chance to serve Jesus, man. I get to do something for Jesus. Jesus, wait, you mean I get to clean your house? You mean I get to mow your yard? Man, you mean I get to be in the Christian school? Man, I get to do whatever, man, God, I get to do whatever it may be. Man, I get to be a Christian example in my workplace. Man, I get, God, whatever it is, man, I get to do these things for you.
Yes,
you see, John was consumed with the fact, man, he got a chance to do things others needed to do. But see, the reason most Christians are content with being asked to do nothing by the Lord is because we don't understand who it is we're doing it for. We miss out on the fact that who we are serving and living for.
Yeah.
Because why? Because what happens is we are not close to someone. We're not close to Him. We don't understand. You know, what happened to Isaiah? Is where Isaiah said, man, I look for a man. And Isaiah said, man, here am I, pick me. Isaiah said, man, woe is me. I'm unfit. I'm undone. I'm unclean. I'm not fit for whatever it is. But God, whatever it is, man, let's go. Whatever you have for me. You understand there's no small job in the church.
Right.
I want to commend, I'm sure there's a lot of people in the church here that does a lot of things behind the scenes that no one knows about. That's how churches grow. It's a lot of people that are doing things behind the scenes that people don't know about. That if you get to heaven, you won't know how many crowns you probably have in heaven.
Yeah.
Serve. Just do. Man, I get a chance to be close to Christ. And whatever it is, God, whatever it is, a lot of times, we get too big for our own britches. Man, I ain't cleaning no toilet. You know, I ain't doing that, right? I've seen some people go in there. I ain't going there and cleaning that toilet, right? You know, I ain't mowing no yard. It's hot outside. Don't you know it's hot? And I'll tell you right now, I would rather cut grass year-round than rake a leaf. My church, there's leaves everywhere, and I've pushed in business meetings to cut every tree down. You know, look, I'll grab the chainsaw myself and cut them all down, and y'all can figure out what to do with them. Man, I'm joking, but anything we do for the Lord, even raking leaves that we hate, right? It's a chance to do something for Jesus, right? Everything I get to do is a chance to do something for Jesus. But most of us aren't close enough to Him for Him to even call us. You see, the only reason John heard the call was because he was close to Him. You know, to my shame, as a teenager, coincidentally, I thought of this example one time, cleaning a toilet church on a work day or something. I was doing something. I was like, yeah, there's a good illustration. It makes fun of myself a little bit. And I like doing that. So, when I was a teenager, my home at my house, whenever my dad would come into the house, the first room that he saw, the first person he would see if he'd look the right direction, it was my room with my bed. It was right there. And I knew if dad came home, and he saw me, Brother Roberto, it means he wanted me to do something. The second he saw me, he knew he was going to have to do something, right? I'm like, so there might have been 1, 2, 10, 25 times that when I heard his car drive up, I'm going to go hide. I'm going to roll underneath the bed. I'm going to go to the bathroom. I'm going to find somewhere to go hide. Why? Because I did not want my dad to ask me to do anything. I was comfortable. I had my Coke sitting there next to me. By the way, where I'm from, everything's called Coke, not pop. Sorry. Everything's called Coke. I want a Coke. What kind? I do like Coca-Cola. Let me clarify that. But I do happen to like the real drink, but I like Coca-Cola, right? And I was like, man, I'm already comfortable and I just want to hide. I don't want to be bothered to do anything, right?
Yeah.
Now, being funny a little bit, but that's a lot of times what we do spiritually speaking, right?
Yes, sir.
I don't want to come to revival because God might prick my heart to do something. I don't want to read my Bible because God might correct me in something.
Come on now.
I don't want, by the way, you know, being guilty of that. I know if I pray, God's gonna convict me of something I don't want to get right.
Right.
I mean, I don't want to go to missions conference. God might ask me to give. I don't want to. A lot of times we avoid God because we're like, you know what? By the way, again, the reason John was asked to do something is because he was at the foot. By the way, he was there when it wasn't easy to be there. John was there where it could have cost him his life.
Yes, sir.
The reason that all the disciples ran was because why? Man, it was like, they got our leader. They're going to get us next. Like, we're certainly next. Judas, who knows where that guy went? You know, I don't know if they knew at that point what Jesus did. You know, we know because of God's word. Peter had already denied him, and John ran away for a little bit and came back. And it was like, but he stayed there when it was tough. By the way, the ones that stick when it isn't the easiest to stick are usually the ones that God gets to use the most.
That's right.
Whether it's, even if it means we make a mistake and we have to come back to God, you think of Peter, man. We like to run Peter under the bus, but, man, Peter, 40 days later, Jesus told him to come and die. 50 days later, he's preaching the day of Pentecost, and 3,000 souls get saved. You know, it's not always how I start, it's how I finish and what God can do. You know, and so again, you see Pete, you see John, and John was got to do more for him than others are going to do. When I'm close to Christ, I get a chance to do things others don't get to do.
Yeah.
John chapter 21, almost done. John chapter 21. I'm gonna explain what I mean by this one. This was an interesting thought. I thought. We'll find out. If it's heresy, just forgive me. What do you say in Bible college? Heresy alert before you start something, right? John 21. I'm just kidding. John 21, 18 through 23. This is Jesus after he's coming. He's talking to Peter. Peter's kind of still going through the process of getting right after denying Christ. And Jesus starts in this passage here speaking to Peter and kind of committing him and wanting to get back and plugged in and serve him, right? And in verse 18, he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest go, wouldest not." Then he spake, signifying by what death he should glorify God. So Jesus here speaking to Peter, listen, if you follow me, of course, the past verse before was, you know, feed my lambs, if you love me, feed my sheep, and he's going through all these things, and he goes to explain, look, if you keep following me, you're going to die for my sake. Verse 20, verse 19, continue that, and when he said, he spoke of this, he said to him, follow me. Imagine that. Imagine me, Peter. God says, you're going to die if you follow me, but I still want you to follow me.
Yeah.
That would have been a very interesting thought, right? I don't know about that. That would have been an awkward conversation, right? Like, you know, so if I keep following you like you want me to, I'm going to die. Well, let's look at Peter's response. Peter looks at him, then Peter, verse 20, then Peter turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved, following, which also leaned on his breast at supper and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Which is he that betrayeth thee? And then verse 20, Peter seeing him, verse 21, Peter seeing him, said to Jesus, Lord, what shall this man do? Jesus said unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is it to thee? Follow thou me. So, of course, Peter responds probably 99% sure the way I would have responded, right?
Yeah.
He said, Jesus says, you're going to die for me if you follow me. Peter instantly goes, yes, Lord. No, he goes, well, what about that guy? Like, what about, like, okay, look, this John character that loves you so much, like that, your favorite, right? Because I'm sure they had debates back and forth, right? Like, we know, look, I'm the oldest of five siblings, okay? I'm the oldest of five. It's four boys, one girl. They try to debate who the favorite is, but we all know who the favorite is. It's, the favorite obviously is the girl. She's the youngest, the only girl, so she's obviously the favorite. After that, it's the middle one. We all have debate in the pecking order. I'm the oldest. I'm the test dummy. So I'm like the lowest on the pecking order. Whatever you got wrong with that, we're gonna fix the other ones as we go through the line. That's usually how it works, right, Brother Terry? You know, you're the baby, aren't you? Oh boy. I'm just kidding. maybe that theory's met. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. You say, Brother James, what's your point here? You see, there was some spiritual jealousy, if you will, from Peter, right?
Oh, yeah.
You see, when I get close to Christ and I begin to move and do for him, not everyone's going to like it.
That's right.
Some people are going to get upset.
Yeah.
You see, Peter, by the way, the one who just shortly thereafter is going to preach at Pentecost, 300 souls get saved, he was still working through getting right with God, right? He was still, we're all working, thank God, he's still working on me, right? We're all a work in progress. You know, praise the Lord, he keeps working on us, right? And but there was some spiritual jealousy, I believe. And child of God, we have to be careful. Look, you need to understand that it's amazing that my preacher back home in Texas would always say, man, you ever heard the phrase, the Christian army's on when the bears are wounded? A lot of times, unfortunately, the Christian army's on when it makes its own wounded.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, instead of us just getting behind each other, man, I want what that guy has, and that guy has Jesus, and I want to know the Jesus he has. Man, what did Paul say? Follow me as I follow Christ. Man, I want to know Christ. And by the way, again, Peter could have the same closeness that John did. But he kept kind of, I think Peter's big deal was he finally had to submit to, okay, God, your will, not mine.
Yeah.
What you want, not what I want. And by the way, let's be honest. It's probably whatever all of us as Christians struggle with, right? To an extent, we're like, hey, look, God, you can have, I will do your will in this area, but this area we'll leave alone, right? You see, John was, when I began to step out by faith, when I began to step out and do things for the Lord, not everybody's going to be happy. And unfortunately, it may be my fellow brother or sister in Christ.
Yeah.
Hey, unfortunately, it might be a family member that may not like that I'm serving God more.
Right.
Now listen, don't let pride set in, because it's not about you, it's still about Jesus.
Right.
It's all about Him. Everything we do is about Him, it's not about me.
Right.
Anything that God, again, anything I get to do, anything I get to hear from Jesus, it's all about Him, not me. And a lot of times what people do is they'll look at, like Peter did here, they'll look at John and say, well, God loves him more. Well, God loves Pastor more. Well, God loves Miss Heather more. Well, God loves Brother Berto more. And God, look, and that's not how it works. God doesn't love any, God doesn't play favorites.
Right.
Because by the way, last check, we're all Gentiles, unless anybody here is a Jew that I don't know about. God does not play favorites. You read through God's word, God does not play favorites, right? Praise God, He doesn't. God extended the same invitation to everyone to know Him. The question is, what am I doing? Am I doing my part? No, you see, that's where it goes back to. If I go to the visit the cross every day, and you ever think that maybe sitting at that cross changed John's view of things even more? John was at the foot of the cross watching what the Savior went through and was going through for my sins, for your sins. And he said, man, whatever it is that you have for me, man, sign me up. If you're willing to do that for me, He who knew no sin became sin. Put your name there. The perfect, sinless Son of God became James Reed. Because He loved me.
Yeah. Right.
I know James Reed. He knows James Reed even better than I know me.
Yeah.
And He loves me.
Right.
It should grip me, man. I got to spend time with Him. Man, I don't want to miss out what He has for me. I don't miss out for that comforting word, that encouraging word, that correcting word, whatever it is He has for me. I don't want to miss out on a chance to find a way somehow to... By the way, you know what? We'll never give back and repay what He's done for us. But I can, in fact, there's a psalmist, I can't remember where in Psalms, the psalmist makes an illustration, man, I'll never be able to repay, but he says, so what I'm going to do, I'm just going to praise Him. I'll never be able to pray Him, I'm just going to obey.
Yeah.
You see, what God strictly wants is faithfulness and obedience.
Yeah.
Our part really, honestly, is very simple. In fact, the crazy part is He says, not only that, but I'll help you do the work along the way. He says, I'm not going to, by the way, you ever think about it? He says, take up your cross and follow Me. Jesus in front of us. You ever picked up a cross? Where's the heaviest end? The front.
Yeah.
We picked up a big old, I don't know if you've seen our church, I've seen the pictures, we have a giant cross on the back of our church now. I mean, the thing is huge. It took like 7 or 8 guys to get that thing up there. It was insane. We almost lost a college student or two, and we got up there, but, regardless, you know, we got, college students are dime a dozen, you know, I'm just kidding. It's usually how it was, right? You know, if they, you know, whatever staff member wasn't willing to do, get a college up there. They ain't married yet. We'll get them up there and they ain't got any kids, right? Sorry. Youth pastor, I mean, I'm sorry. But the heaviest part of the cross is generally in the front. Jesus, not only that, you follow Me, I'm going to carry the heaviest part of the load.
Yeah.
Just follow Me. Others might not like it, but we still keep staying faithful. And I love Jesus' response. He said, if I let John live until I come back, what does it matter? Follow Me. The same calling is to us. It doesn't matter. By the way, we should pray for one another. We should encourage one another. But ultimately, I'm not going to answer for what Pastor Terry does when I get to heaven. I'm going to answer for what James Reed does.
Right.
You're not going to answer. Now, look, we pray for brothers and sisters in Christ. We bear one of those burdens. All those things are still true. But ultimately, when I get to heaven, I'm going to answer for how close, what I did with the invitation to be close to Jesus.
Right.
And what I did for Him, right?
Yeah.
And then lastly, it will cause us to look and act more like Jesus. Let's turn over, not John anymore, Romans 8:29. Bible says, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of what? His Son. that I may be the firstborn among many brothers. You see, the closer I get to Christ, the more I will look like Him. The more I will act like Him. The more I begin to resemble Him, right? To be conformed is like to be put into a mold. Now, God still lets us be individuals. Praise the Lord for that, because the world cannot handle a lot of people with my personality. I was told one time, and I know if I told you who said it, I'll tell you later. The person said, I know it wasn't a compliment, said my personality is abrasive. I'm pretty sure they didn't mean it was a compliment, Brother Berto. I was like, what, like abrasive, like good, bad, like a Brillo pad, like does it just irritate you when I'm around? Is that how it works? You know, it's like, that's what my wife thinks, right? No, I'm just kidding. It's how it works, right? You know, and so, but God said the whole purpose of you being a child of mine and being close to me is to look more and more like my son every day. You see, it's amazing the more time someone spends with someone, the more they start taking on their attributes, right? My parents, see, I'm 35, so I'm married, they've been married 37 years, somewhere around that, 37, 38 years. And my mom, they've been together for a long time. That's a long time. They'll begin to, my mom will say things, I'm like, man, that sounds just like my dad. And they'll start like, they start saying things and doing things the same way. I'm like, what in the world? And you know, it's like, what is going on? Like, and if you ever got a chance to meet my parents or see my dad, I look like my dad. I kind of act like my dad in some things. All of our siblings have certain things. All of us got the temper, but all of us have certain attributes of my father. And it's why? Because we spent a lot. That's who we belong to. That is my father, you know. And in fact, I have the same exact name. I'm the second. But why? Because the more time we spend with someone, we start kind of knowing what they like. Yeah. We know what irritates them, right? We know what makes them happy. We begin to know, hey, look, man, we want to do things that please them.
Yeah.
And it's the same work as the Christian life, child of God, is that the closer I get to Christ, the more I never lose touch inside of, man, Jesus loves me. John 3:16 is a verse that all of us probably know by heart. Could quote if we asked everybody in the room, I'm sure. And a lot of times we look at, man, that's the children's church verse. No, that's the most powerful. That's one of the most powerful verses in God's word. Wait, God so. By the way, that word, that two-letter word so, we overlook that word a lot. That word so means so love. That means that God decided to do something about it. He didn't just say, I love you, have fun. He said, I so love you, I'm going to show you that I love you by sending my son to die for you.
Yeah.
You see, when I, by the way, 2026 coming up. May 2026 be the year that we remember, man, God, every day I wake up, God loves me. God loves me.
Right.
And man, I don't want to miss out what He has for me today. I don't want to miss out on what He has for. By the way, I love how God is a God of individuality. That tells me what you need today might be different than what I need. But if I stay close to Him, He'll give us both what we need, right? You might need comfort. You might need correction. You might need strength. You might need some peace. You might need to be reminded of God's goodness. Whatever it is that you need, God says, hey, if you stay close to me, I will give you exactly what you need when you need it, right when you need it, right? Stay close to Him. I get a chance to do things for Him.
Yep.
And I get it. And look, to remind myself, even when those don't like it, by the way, what we should do instead of getting mad at that brother in Christ, just pray for them.
Right.
And not like a condescending way. Thank God I'm not like that, man. No. Just, you know, pray for them. Say, hey, God, just help me to act like you. Help me to act like you. And it should push me to be more and more like Christ. And let me ask you this evening. You see, there should never be a question in my mind if God loves me. From Genesis to Revelation, the constant theme is God loves me.
Yes.
All through the Old Testament. Why? Because the Old Testament is all about pointing to Jesus coming on the scene and dying for our sins, and all like everything in the Old Testament points to what Christ is going to do. The New Testament, we see what Christ did, what Christ is getting ready to do, and Christ is doing in the believer's heart and the believer's life, right? The question tonight is, how's your love for Him? How is my love for Him? Have I grown cold a little bit? Have I left my first love? Have I gotten distant? Has the whole church thing become a routine? Coming to church, that's just what I do. I go to church. Hey, if you read your Bible, reading my Bible just part of my schedule? Or is it really, man, I want to hear from God? Is my prayer, man, I better make sure I pray, so if the preacher asks me, I can say, yes, I prayed. Or is it, man, God, I just want to talk with you.
Yeah.
By the way, you know what? As a preacher, guilty of it. I have to stay on top. I have to stay on top of that big time. Because you know what? I don't know, Brother Terry's more spiritual than me. I don't know if this case with him. I'm just kidding. I'm sure he is. But anyway, sometimes what I'm guilty of in the ministry is using the excuse of, well, I've served others, so that's my time with God. It's not how that works. I need time with God, personally. My family needs to make sure I have time with God. Hey, by the way, your church family needs to make sure you have time with God. You need a time with God. Tonight, just take a little bit of time as we get ready to start an invitation here soon. Is spend time reminding yourself, man, God, I can't believe you love me. By the way, not a woe is me, but God, I'm so thankful that you would love me. I'm so thankful, God, is there anything in my life I need that doesn't please you? Is there anything in my life that I need to get right? Hey, is there something you've been working on my heart to do for you that I've just been holding back? Is there a part of my heart that I haven't given you? Is there a part of my life I haven't given you? Is there something that I'm just, God, whatever it may be? The disciple whom Jesus loved. You know, I'm in with this. I love the phrase. When Lazarus, me and Brother Terry were having some friendly debates last night. As most preachers do when they get together, right? But we're talking about the story of Lazarus. And there's a phrase in there that just caught my attention a few years back. Whenever they watched Jesus weep, when they came to Lazarus' tomb, the statement of some people was made, oh, how he loved him. Yeah. That should be my cry every day of my life. Oh, how he loves me. And God, whatever you want, whatever you need, man, I'm here. Because then it's not, when I understand that, whatever is asked of me by the Lord, it's not going to be something I do begrudgingly. Whew, let's go. Yeah. It's not going to feel like a sacrifice. Because it's not a sacrifice when you do for the people you love for, right? Those in here that work, those men in here that may work several jobs, and ladies here may work several jobs, take care of families, and for you it's not a sacrifice. Why? You're taking care of your families. I take care of my family. That's what I'm supposed to do. It's the same thing when it comes to Christian life. When I understand, man, God loves me, man, that ain't a sacrifice. Man, he did way more than I could ever do to repay him, and he wants me to just help clean the toilet. Man, let's go. Let's go clean the toilet. He wants me to go soul winning. By the way, he wants every believer to go soul winning. Right. It's not a call just to people in ministry. Everybody, go ye therefore, wasn't given to certain, you know, ages or anything like that. He wants us all to be soul winners. Boy. You see, the thing is, when I am also consumed with the fact that Jesus loves me, I will want to share that with others. Mm-hmm. I love the phrase, sorry, last thing, I promise. I love the verse, because it speaks to my foodie in me. Oh, taste and see the Lord is good. When you taste something, you kind of experience it, right? If you've ever been in a fancy place and, you know, the ambiance, all that kind of stuff, and fancy for me is McDonald's usually. But you go to a place, you know, fancy, you got the ambiance, you got all this kind of stuff. It's like, you need to go try this place, Brother Berto. Man, this place will change your life. And by the way, never trust a skinny man with food. Never trust a skinny man who tells you to go eat. That guy don't know what food tastes like. But you can always trust, you can trust me. Listen, you can trust me when it comes to food. Not a whole lot of things, but you can trust me when it comes to food. Look, when I spend time with Jesus, man, I got to tell you about that experience. I got to tell you about that saving grace. I got to tell you what he can do with my life. I got to tell you, man, my life was undone and crazy and all things that was involved in my life. But let me tell you what happened when Jesus stepped in. Oh, how he loves me. Every eye closed as we begin invitation, as piano